His wounds remain. The wounds in Jesus' hands and in his feet and in his side, even after he had risen from the dead, they still remain. They're still there. Even now in heaven, though everything else from his passion and his crucifixion had been healed, his wounds are still there. His wounds remain. Why? Those wounds, which had been the source of so much suffering, had been the source of pain and shame, are now the doorway to mercy, that they're a source of God's glory. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. If you look at the great image of divine mercy we have today, you see Jesus pointing to the wound that remained in his side. You remember after he died on the cross, they took and with a spear, they jabbed it into his side, into his heart, and out poured blood and water. That the very heart of God had been pierced and opened up. That this wound had become a doorway to God's mercy. And these wounds that Jesus has that still remain, when he appears to his disciples, he shows them to him. He appeared to them and he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. And he does this for a very specific purpose. Many of you have seen, I imagine, a great image by the painter Caravaggio, which captures this gospel scene of St. Thomas. It's called The Incredulity of St. Thomas, The Unbelief of St. Thomas. And it captures the moment in which St. Thomas is putting his hand into Jesus' side. And you can see in it, Jesus is guiding his hand there. That Thomas, with his hand in his side, he is touching now. Remember, it went right to his heart. He is touching the heart of God. He's touching Jesus' sacred heart. And these wounds of Jesus, they become now this doorway to the very heart of God, to his mercy. All the others had told them, right? All the others who had been there the first time. We've seen the risen Lord. We've seen him. We saw his wounds. Thomas had heard it from everyone else, but he still did not believe until he himself had a lived experience of Jesus. That this is so true in our own lives. You can hear from others from the time you're very young, and you can hear it Sunday after Sunday about Jesus, that he is alive, that Jesus' wounds now heal us. You can hear this, but to have a lived experience and to encounter him in your life is where you're able to truly know, not just with the mind, but with the heart, that Jesus is risen. And Jesus' great desire is that everyone in our age and down through the centuries would be able to encounter the heart of God and to encounter his mercy as Thomas did, as his disciples did. This is the great desire of Jesus' heart. And so what does he do with that desire? What does he do about that? He gives us a way that we're able to encounter the mercy of God. He breathes on his disciples. He breathes his very spirit. his power upon them. And he says, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. That he gives to them his power to forgive sins, and he gives to us the ability to touch the heart of God, to encounter the very love and mercy of God. Because we look at our own lives, and we can say, okay, why did the wounds remain? You were baptized in the waters of baptism. Original sin was washed away, but yet your wounds remain. Wounds are not sin themselves. Wounds can be the cause of sin, the thing from which sin comes from. Why didn't Jesus just heal them when he healed the rest of you in baptism? Or when you've encountered him in your life, when you've, like Thomas, touched God, touched the heart of God, and you've been forgiven your sins, why do the wounds remain? Why do they remain there still? Or God will, even at different times, he will wound us to be wounded by the beauty of God in nature, in the lives of others and in our own life, to be wounded by goodness and truth. Jesus allows these wounds to remain because they become for us as well a doorway. Yes, they can become a source of sin. But being a doorway is also the only way that we're able to receive what comes from Jesus' heart and receive it into our own. Jesus, when he appears to us, he shows us his wounds. And he does that for a very specific reason. Padre Pio is a saint of our own time. A number of you were alive when he still lived in Italy. And the day he was canonized a saint in Rome in June of 2002 marked one of the greatest pilgrimages that had ever taken place to Rome. Nearly 500,000 people from all over the world flooded into the city of Rome to be there for the canonization of this saint. There were some seminarians at the North American College, some American seminarians who wanted to be there, and they knew that if they were going to have any place in St. Peter's Square, they'd have to get there really early. And so they got up super early in the morning, and they went to St. Peter's Square, and they just waited for hours then. And as they're waiting there, and as everyone begins to pack in, there was a man next to him. He was an old man. And they got talking with him because he was an American. In the course of the conversation, they asked him, did you ever meet Padre Pio? He said, yes. I met him one time. And he told them that he was a young GI in World War II. And after the war, he was stationed in Rome. And during a little bit of time off, there was a group of soldiers that we're going to go travel down to this little city down in the southern part of Italy called San Giovanni Rotondo. And then we're going to go visit this famous holy priest, Father Pio. And they asked if he wanted to come along. He said, I wasn't particularly religious, but you know, I had nothing else going on, and I thought I might go down there and maybe meet some pretty girls. So I decided to go with them. But as they were heading down there, the other soldiers were talking about the stigmata that Father Pio had. He's like, what is a stigmata? He said, he has this gift that he's received. Father Pio has the wounds of Christ in his own hands and in his feet and in his side. He's like, what? He Yeah, he's received the wounds of Christ. And this soldier, he said, I was just becoming more skeptical as they kept talking about it. It sounded crazy. But we went down there and we went to one of his masses. And then afterward, the church was overflowing, he said. And afterward, every single person stayed. And they made this huge line which circled around because they wanted just for a moment to meet Father Pio. And he went around and began to greet every single person and give them a blessing, every person that was there. He said, we were waiting there for over an hour. And I was getting more and more annoyed. I was like, this is just a priest. And you can't even see these wounds. Because conveniently he had them wrapped around. There was like these towels around his hands. You couldn't even see them. And so he said, when Father Pio got to me, I said to him, show me your wounds. He said, Father Pio looked at him. He said again, show me your wounds. He said, Father Pio looked at me. He said, he looked into my soul. And he said, first, you show me yours. And he said, right then he took me and he led me to the confessional. He said, I showed him my wounds there in the confessional. For the first time in my life, I showed wounds that I had never spoken of or showed to anyone. The horrible things I had done in the war. The things I had done on leave. So much shame. But I showed him those wounds. And I received so much forgiveness. So much mercy. So yes, I've met Father Pio. And when I heard they were naming him a saint, I said, I have to be there. I have to be there for that day to say thank you to the man who saved my life and brought me to Jesus, to his wounds. Jesus shows us his wounds, and he does so for a very specific purpose, so that we might show him our wounds. Because his wounds, which were the source of so much suffering and pain and shame, are now the doorway through which the love of God gushes forth from his very heart, that the mercy of God flows forth from those wounds, so that we might show him our wounds and receive the mercy which flows forth from him through our wounds into our very heart. We're going to pray together as a parish just one decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, this prayer which was given less than 90 years ago to St. Faustina, to pray during this dark time in which more than ever the mercy of God is needed. And we're going to pray it for a very specific purpose. We're going to pray it as a parish for those in our parish who have been away from the sacrament of confession for a long time. Those who do not believe that the sacrament of confession is necessary for them for the salvation of their soul. That the mercy of God might pour out from his heart upon them and find a crack within their heart that it might open and receive the healing mercy of God on this great feast. Please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, 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 for the sake of his sorrowful passion. 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 Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.